You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the at Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account, as well as my Twitter account, at C-Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. Also, remember to check out the Locked On NBA podcast that is giving you news around the league on recent activities, on what is going down in the NBA. Tons of different guests on. There's a few different hosts for that show, giving you a couple different flavors. Great content on that show every single day. Make sure to check it out. So when you're done with this podcast, go over there and give them a listen, a subscribe, a rate. We would really appreciate it. All right, so today we are going to talk about a few things from the Timberwolves' win over the Pacers last night at home, 101-91, in case you missed the score. We'll be diving into all of that, as well as three things from last night that I saw. Three things I saw from the NBA last night. We're going to throw that in there at the end of the episode as well. And we're going to look ahead to what's next on the Timberwolves' schedule just briefly, because we are going to get into that more tomorrow. They don't play again till, let me just make it sure, yep, Wednesday. It is a road game. I couldn't remember if they played Toronto at home or on the road off the top of my head, but it is, in fact, a road game on Wednesday. But we'll get into more of that tomorrow. We're just going to briefly look at it. Today, just get it on your radar so you're thinking about it. Let's get into it. So last night, the Timberwolves won, like I said, by 10. It was a great game for the Wolves. Loved the way they spaced the floor. They ended up going 7-33. But you know what? Did you see how that defense was collapsing on the interior? It was important to get that spacing out there. You saw later in that game, especially guys like Okogie, using that spacing. They were committing towards the end of that game towards some of the three-point shooting, towards some of the three-point shooters. They're committing to the three-point line a little bit more, and it gave them room to drive towards the basket. It gave them room off high screens to get some space for Towns to get towards the basket. Great game from Towns, too. He came out firing seven. He had the double-double, 17 points, 15 rebounds. He also had a couple nasty defensive plays. Was really aggressive. Really loved the way he played last night. Also really enjoyed watching Butler get after some of the opponents. He had a steal, a block. Towns had a couple blocks as well, but Butler was looking really good. 20 points, shot 50%. Wiggins with the unfortunate injury. I haven't seen anything on Wiggins yet on the injury. I'm assuming something will pop up tomorrow and we can get into that, but he had the quad injury last night that kept him out of the majority of that game after he went out early. He ended up with only 8 minutes, so that was unfortunate, but they're able to pull out the win without one of their stars. Josh Okogie looked good. He took a lot of threes, went 1 of 6, didn't really find a rhythm from deep, but he really found a rhythm in transition. He did a great job getting back on defense. He had 3 steals. He did a great job of getting back on defense quickly, and he did a great job pressing and getting down the court fast. And you saw that he was able to grab some drives in the half court, but he was really good picking up the pace of this offense. Him and Derrick Rose did a good job going fast. And there was times, too, when Towns got down quickly, this offense just looked faster. And while I would like, I know that you have to play, maybe you feel like you have to play a little bit bigger against the Pacers. I would have really liked to see some, just a little bit more where you're playing maybe Anthony Tolliver a little more or something, just to space the floor even more. I thought there was a few opportunities. You had a few times where Gorgie, I know that, Taj Gibson knocked down his 3-point attempt, but there are a few times we have a big guy outside. There's a couple times we have the Gorgie, you have Taj Gibson. I think that there's more opportunities. If you have Towns is the only real big guy out there, and you have surrounded with guards and some wing players. I think there's a real opportunity in this offense to get even more good looks at the basket from range. And I think that if you have a more of a rhythm from guys like Okogie, you have Anthony Tolliver out on the perimeter with more open looks, I think that you can shoot better from 21% from three. But again, I really like seeing them take 33 three-point attempts. I really like seeing them space the floor like that. And I think there's an opportunity to do that better, but they're definitely taking the right steps towards that end. They're making the right moves towards that goal. So I like the pace. Like I said yesterday, the Pacers are going to want to slow them down, play more half court, and they did a good job of not getting bogged down by the Pacers. Their biggest lead last night was 26 points, which is considerable because this is not only a really good deep Pacers team, but it's also a team that was a real playoff contender, a team that really took a LeBron James-led Cavaliers to the brink last season. So this was encouraging. This was encouraging. Excuse me, fast break points was 26. 14 was the biggest lead. Still a really big lead on a playoff team, but 26 fast break points was the thing I think you really want to look at and be encouraged by. I like the pace of this team, like I went into yesterday, and I like seeing them able to do that against a team that really doesn't want you to get out and use space against them. So this was an encouraging game. If you're a Timberwolves fan, this was a really encouraging game. And I think that you're seeing them start to move in a positive direction. I know that you can be disgruntled about the defense. I thought they actually did a pretty good job at closing out on a lot of their shooters. I know that the Pacers aren't exactly world beaters in the three-point arena, but holding them to 30% from range, I thought was really good. And I thought they did a good job of letting some guys like Oladipo, Bogdanovich, they didn't get flustered when those guys were knocking down shots. Both those players finished with 20 points each. And they did a good job. The second unit did a good job of not letting the bench players of the Pacers get them back into that game. You've seen this before. The bench of the Pacers comes out against the second unit of another team, and they're able to turn the tables a little bit on them and get their starters back into a game. You saw this against Memphis when guys like Oladipo were struggling early. Their bench came in, played fantastic, and got them a big lead in that game and kind of greased the rails for them to coast the rest of that game against Memphis. There was no such luck against the Timberwolves. They did a good job of kind of batting down the hatches. Derrick Rose has played really well. I know it was another one of those lower efficiency nights for him, but 33% on only 12 shots, I can live with that. He's got to get some arc in that three-point shot, but I like that they were able to space the floor. I like that they can trust their guys off the bench, and I really like that Okogie is getting a decent amount of minutes. I know it helps that Wiggins was out, but 24 minutes for the young guy, I like that a lot. I really like that, and I like what he did with them. I like what I'm seeing from this Timberwolves squad, and I like that while some of this stuff on defense, maybe you just don't have the horses right now to fix it, they're at least improving on the offense, and you're starting to be able to depend on a few factors on this Timberwolves team to carry them throughout a game, especially against solid competition like the Pacers. Encouraging stuff from this game. Just a quick glance at the Toronto Raptors. This is going to be a really tough game. They are really going to have to come with their A game. They're really going to have to knock down shots, take advantage of open looks. If they can keep the pace going against the Toronto Raptors, make this a high-scoring game, that would be critical for them. This Toronto team has not skipped a beat. Kawhi Leonard has slid right into this unit, and they are off to the races. They're looking very, very good, and this is going to be an intimidating game. 4-0, the Toronto Raptors are thus far in the season, and they have been killing it. They have looked phenomenal. So this is going to be one where you really kind of test your brass as the Timberwolves. We'll get into that matchup coming up tomorrow. But just to put it on your radar, this is going to be a tough one. And you're going to learn a lot about the Timberwolves in this game, I think, early on in the season. Previewing the first month of the Timberwolves schedule, I talked about this with Seth Topol of KLGR, that you're going to learn a lot about this team in the first month. I think you're going to learn a lot about this team in this game as well, because I don't know if any of us expected Toronto to jump out to this fast of a start, but your offense is going to be tested, because they're going to have to make up for a lot of slack on the defensive side in this game, because Toronto is not going to miss too many opportunities to take advantage of the defensive weaknesses. So this will be a fascinating matchup, and I'm excited to get into it later, but I just want to touch on it quickly, going from the Pacers to the Raptors. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors before we move on to the next topic. First, some sponsors. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make MyBookie so you can win. When you win, they pay fast. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business for you, and fantasy guys. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join MyBookie, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Not me. I don't have the money for that. But MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when entering your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So get in on that bonus offer. All right. Before we head out here, just wanted to say or let you guys in on the three things I saw last night. The NBA segment I've been trying out for a little bit here. Three things I saw last night. So if you weren't watching all the rest of the basketball games, there was a thriller in L.A. The Spurs came to town to take on the Lakers in overtime. The Spurs won 143-142, game-winning shot from Patty Mills. There was something that I saw in this game that I really liked from the young guys. Obviously, Ingram wasn't playing, but Kuzma stepped up with 37 points. Josh Hart had 20. He has been stellar again. He had 10 rebounds as well. Obviously, and 14, Lonzo Ball is one of those young guys as well. 14 from Lonzo Ball. He had 6 assists. Obviously, it goes without saying that the youth on this team is going to be important. But with the way that guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope have played, JaVale McGee has been pretty solid. But you've got Lance Stephenson. He has been a kind of a role piece at best. It is, I would say it's fair to say it's crucial that the young players grow up immediately. I think that if you want, I mean, this team is in a hole right now as it is 0-3. You talk about how you can kind of coast through the first season. Coast is the wrong word. I would say that while you can experiment some with some lineups in the first month of the season, you still need to win games, because remember how tight it was last year in the West? Well, now there's probably 12 teams that you could say could be vying for those 8 spots. You can't give up these games and then expect to just make them up at the end of the season. That might not work for them. The Timberwolves and the Nuggets could tell you that best of all, because they came down to the last game of the season to sneak in for that 8th seed. So if the Lakers want to make the playoffs this year, these young guys have to grow up quick. It looks like they're doing that. Now the next step is, once Ingram gets back, you've got all these young guys making sure they're getting the appropriate amount of minutes. Because once they show, Josh Hart is a perfect example. Once they show that they can handle the load, they can handle playing with LeBron, they can be night in, night out contributors, you've got to make sure that they're getting the right amount of minutes, because you need to start winning games here. Otherwise, all of a sudden, if you're behind the eight ball too far, it's going to be really hard to catch up on these teams that are all vying for a limited amount of spaces. I mean, you say there's 8 spots, but you know the Warriors and Rockets are going to get into the playoffs at some of those top seeds. So really, you're playing for 10 teams for 6 spots. It's tough. It's really tough. and you cannot give away a bunch of these games. You got to get maybe a little bit of the mindset of out with the old, in with the new, as far as these young players, and get them minutes quickly and get them a lot of them if they've proven that they're proving themselves early. Another thing that I saw, the Boston Celtics offense is looking a little worse for wear. It's looking to struggle a little bit. They just lost to Orlando Magic 93-90. Kyrie Irving is back and healthy. Gordon Hayward is healthy, and yet they're struggling. I think that it was foolhardy for anybody to think that this team was going to come out at exactly 100% after trying to figure out how to handle this roster. You've got a lot of different players who can contribute in a lot of different ways, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult to figure out the exact formula as far as minutes, as far as lineups, that is going to work the absolute best. And it's going to take a minute for everything to churn at exactly 100% efficiency. I think you've got to give this Celtics roster a minute. I wouldn't go and say that the Raptors are the best team in the East yet. I just wouldn't. I don't think that they have top to bottom the same talent that Boston has. You'd be hard pressed to convince me that they will take the number one seed this year. I think you need to, before you sell Boston and you say that it's going to be really tough and doubt that there's going to be a way to run this offense at maximum efficiency with so many keys that need minutes, I would just say you got to give it a second. You got to give it a second. It's going to take a minute, which is the thing I saw last night. It's going to take a minute for this Boston team to really hit its full potential. The third and final thing that I saw last night was the Toronto Raptors. I talked about this earlier, but they are against a team in the Charlotte Hornets that have been a little tough, a little shaky this year, 2-2, not terrible, but when they were playing the Toronto Raptors, there was one guy that stepped up, like he stepped up every single game this season so far. Kemba Walker, 26 points. He's been a monster all season long. He is playing with a man. He's a man with his hair on fire. He is averaging 33 points this season. I know we're only four games in, but he is going balls to the wall. He is giving maximum effort. He is the reason that they're in a lot of these games. He's the reason they almost bumped off the favorite Bucks in their opener. I am really impressed with Kemba Walker. I've liked him for a while, and he's kind of the guy who you can expect that 18, 20 points out of, and you expect him to make a lot of plays for his teammates. But now he is really taking over the scoring in these games. It's a lot of fun to watch, and I would keep an eye on him because if he can keep this up, he's going to make the Charlotte Hornets really entertaining on his own. And then if you key in some guys like Malik Monk, Bridges to develop around him, all of a sudden this is a pretty fun team. So keep an eye on Kemba Walker and the way he's playing and if he can keep that pace up. Those are the three things that I saw from the NBA last night. Come back tomorrow and we'll really dive into the Toronto Raptors Timberwolves matchup. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.